Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our time of prayer and scripture together. I'm pro-life leader Frank Pavone of Priests for Life, and it is a delight to have you with us. While we're going through our readings today, please share this video. Invite others to come on and watch and be inspired and pray for one another. Speaking of praying for each other, as we also have this time together, leave in the comments, if you wish, your own prayer intentions. How can we pray for you and your loved ones today? Let's all lift each other up before the throne of God. Let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we thank you and praise you for all that you have given us and the revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for the forgiveness of sins, and we again repent of all that we have done to offend you or all that we have failed to do to follow you. We ask you, Lord, for the wisdom now to hear your word with fresh understanding and with renewed commitment to live it out and to proclaim it to the ends of the earth. We stand before you, Lord God, grateful for the opportunity that you give us in this nation to influence public policy and to vote so that we can choose our leaders. Your word tells us that as citizens of heaven, we are also called at the same time to be good citizens of earth. Enable us to receive that lesson today from your very mouth and to encourage our fellow citizens to live it as well. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, the reading I'm talking about, of course, comes to us from the 12th chapter of Mark's Gospel, where we read this. Some Pharisees and Herodians were sent to Jesus to ensnare him in his speech. They came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you are not concerned with anyone's opinion. You do not regard a person's status, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay it or should we not pay?" Knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." They brought him one, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They replied to him, "Caesar's." So Jesus said to them, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." They were utterly amazed at him. Render to Caesar. You know, the lesson of this scripture is pretty basic. Good citizens of heaven, good citizens of earth at the same time. Philippians, Paul writing to the Philippians says, we have our citizenship in heaven. So we have dual citizenship, okay? Now, you may have dual citizenship here on earth as well, but every Christian has dual citizenship in as much as we are citizens of heaven and we are citizens of our earthly nation. We are to be faithful to both. They do interact. They are compatible. If ever the earthly authority issues a law, because earthly authorities issue earthly laws, God issues his law, we'll use a capital L. Obviously, this always has to take precedence over that. We should draw the arrow this way, right? This is the supreme law. And the beauty in America is that our founding fathers acknowledged that explicitly. They said that the divine law is higher than human law. But Jesus indicates this in this passage by saying, what belongs to Caesar? Well, the coin, pay taxes, okay? and elsewhere in Scripture, by the way. You read the letters of Peter, you read Paul writing to the Romans, you see that explicitly that paying taxes is something that we are to do. Again, also always keeping this in mind, I'm not going to pay taxes to accomplish directly an evil purpose. But what belongs to Caesar? Well, the coin, because it bears is his image. So what bears his image and his name? Well, the coin, the image on the coin and the inscription is Caesar. So he says, well, give it to Caesar. So therefore, we can ask, well, then what belongs to God? And using the analogy Jesus has set up, we can say, well, what belongs to God is what bears his image. And what is it that is made in the image and likeness of God? Go back to the first chapter of Genesis. God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. In his own image. Human life. Now, Caesar is human. Therefore, Caesar also belongs to God. Therefore, Caesar must obey God. Caesar also has dual citizenship. Caesar also is under the higher law of God. And that's how we have a harmonious, peaceful, ordered life here on earth as we live our dual citizenship. That's how we do it. Provided that all those who are responsible for civil government and civil policy are in fact recognizing that they bear God's image. They are receiving the coin. Now, the coin can represent not only taxes, but everything we do as citizens to cooperate in the civil arena, in the organizing of ourselves politically. Some people think, oh, you could put politics to the side. Politics is how we organize ourselves. You can't put it to the side. Jesus saying, give the coin to Caesar means be good citizens of this earth. Give him your taxes and your obedience to just laws. Now, some laws are unjust. Again, that's where this principle comes in. But the point is, be active and faithful citizens, and then let those who are in authority be what St. Paul calls them in the letter to the Romans, ministers of God. Romans 13. Caesar, again, I will use Caesar in a generic term, okay? Anybody who has civil authority. Paul calls them ministers of God. It's not just the clergy who are ministering, serving God's people and God himself, but those in the civil arena. How did our founding fathers understand that? Well, they said, well, God gives us our rights and governments are instituted to secure those rights. So, of course, you're ministering to God if you're securing and protecting the rights God gave to his people. It makes sense. We're accountable to God, accountable to his law, accountable to this other side of our citizenship. This other side of our citizenship doesn't cancel out the earthly side, doesn't cancel it out any more than the divinity of Christ cancels out his humanity, nor does our citizenship on earth cancel out our heavenly citizenship as if we could have just a purely secular society. We can't, and our founders believed that too. Not only that God's law is higher than any human law, but that we can't even adequately make human law unless we are rooted in God, because otherwise we can't tell the difference between good and evil. That's the lesson of today's scripture. And need we say that because human life is made in his image, his law commands that we protect and respect life, human life, starting at its beginning. Human rights begin, the rights that God granted us, starting with life. Our Declaration of Independence starts with life. Because if you've been killed In the womb, you can't pursue happiness or have liberty. Human rights begin starting with life, and they begin when human lives begin, and not one moment later. A government is not authorized to permit abortion. Not authorized. It doesn't have the power. You know, we quibble and squabble, and it's more than a squabble, it's a legitimate battle over when we should start protecting human life. But the thing we've got to realize is there's no room for the battle to begin with. We don't get to decide the point at which we'll start protecting the right to life. It's a fundamental right that inheres in our humanity. When something is a human right, it means it belongs to you by the very fact that you're human. No one can take it away. That's why it's called unalienable in the Declaration. It's because nobody can take away your humanity. Can somebody make you into a different species? Of course not. You can't make yourself into a different species either. You might love your dog. You can't become one, though. You're human. And as long as you're human, you possess those human rights. Whether another person or government wants to recognize them or not, you still have them. So, brothers and sisters, that's why we're pro-life. That's why the defense of life has to inform our citizenship and inform our laws and inform Caesar. You know, the duties, and I'll conclude with this point, that Scripture puts on the shoulders of kings to do things like respect life and uphold God's covenant are, in America, on our shoulders, precisely because sovereignty rests with the people. Sovereignty in America rests with the people. And so the obligation of sovereign kings, as laid out in Scripture, becomes our obligation to lead ourselves, our families, and our nation in the path of what is right and what is good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your law. Thank you for your kingdom. Thank you for granting us citizenship in your kingdom of heaven. And thank you, Lord, for the great blessing you give us in America, a country founded on the truths that we have just been discussing, rooted in your word. Bless all our leaders. Bless those who seek to become our leaders. Bless all those who are candidates in these upcoming elections, both of this year and next year. Bless our leaders that have already governed this nation, such as President Trump, and preserve all the good that they have accomplished. Bless your church, Lord, that she may find her voice in the political arena and not pretend to be above the fray. No, we are in the fray. Because this fray affects the very freedom of the church. Bless us as we serve you, bless our families, and bless us now as we pray as you taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray to our Heavenly Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And may the Lord shower down his blessings upon us, protect us from all evil, keep us in his ways, and bring us to the gift of eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks, friends. Great to have you with us. And remember, each day, 10 a.m. Eastern, we'll bring you these scripture reflections. Tell others about it. Bring others along. And meanwhile, have a glorious, wonderful day in the Lord.
Hello, this is Father David Begany, one of the many members of Priests for Life. Prayer is the foundation of the pro-life movement. I invite you to join Priests for Life in prayer each day for an end to abortion. We have many different prayer campaigns throughout the year, and you can find them all at prayercampaign.org. Please sign up with us to be a regular prayer partner. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.